excuse me, verses, no, it's verses 38 to 47. I speak the things which I've seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you've heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, then do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come in my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Because there, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Father God, thank you, Lord, that many here can testify of how God reached them, how he opened our ears and he opened our eyes to your truth, and we heard from you, and we stopped listening to the world. And I'm so thankful that I am among those people that you have chosen, not because I've done anything terrific, but simply because of your love. And I so appreciate that. And even today, the father of lies works his works upon this earth, which is filled with some incredible lies that even many of us would think that the reasonable person wouldn't believe, but many are buying into. And I'm thankful that we have this opportunity to worship you in music, in the reading of your word, and the preaching of the same. And I'm so thankful that we have a pastor who studies your truth, your word, and speaks and teaches the truth to us. And because of his love for your word, his love for you, and his love for us. And I pray that we would have ears to hear and take to heart the message that he has for us. In your name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Good to see you all on this Lord's Day here, this last Sunday of April 2024. I just want to share a few stories that relates to my subject this morning. Today I talked to my wife about my hair, and she suggested, why don't you use some conditioner? I don't use conditioner. Never use conditioner, so okay. The subject today is on truth. What's the truth about conditioner? I don't know. I haven't studied. I just accepted her thoughts there. The point is this, is there's truth about everything. People sell conditioner, and they advertise, and there's certain truths about it, whatever they might be, and I'm not going to delve into those. Another story. Person I know, not too well, but I know his parents very well, Tate Kellogg, had open-heart surgery this past week, 8-hour surgery. Successful, which is very, very good to hear. And so you have the truth about the physical aspects of the surgery, which I have no idea what they are because I'm no doctor. But there's all these different truths relative to the surgery itself, and it was quite complex. I mean, you know, you get in and you go into the chest area and you open up the heart, and it was amazing. But then there's this aspect of the truth. I was reading an email that he had sent to friends of his, and it was such an encouraging email. So it was the relational truth, the love and the thanks that came from his heart in terms of expressing his just gratitude. So that was encouraging. Then, of course, there's the spiritual truth in that. I was thinking, okay, God is working in his actual physical heart, but there's a spiritual heart, and spiritual hearts are being touched by this, whether it's his own life or his mom and his sister or many others. So that there's that aspect. The other story is I saw this Saturday when storms go up to the Midwest. I try to pay attention because I have relatives up there, and they were going towards Omaha. And so then I heard that, hey, there's a tornado that hit Elkhorn. I know that Gary and Patty Osborne live up in Palomino Road there in Elkhorn. I've been there and visited them before in the past. And so then I saw the TV, and I says, man, things are flattened. So there's the truth of there actually was a tornado. There are pictures. There is records. There was a tornado. There is the physics of this whole thing happened. And then I saw this sign, and it says, we thank everyone for your help. And so the relational component, their truth is relational as well. And people were thankful for all the help that they got. And then I emailed Gary briefly Saturday, and hey, you guys all right? And he says, yeah, we're fine. But this tornado missed their house by 2 blocks. And it was a huge mammoth tornado, EF4, 2 blocks. And he said this, he said, Steve, it was a, quote, war zone. And I saw the houses. I mean, if you look at all the damage from the tornadoes on Saturday and Sunday, Elkhorn got it in terms of the real damage, the worst. So there's the spiritual truth. I'd love to know what's going on in Gary and Patty's hearts and, of course, the lives of all those people. God's trying to speak to all those hearts, the lives there that are affected by this storm that really went from Texas clear on up through Oklahoma, Kansas, into Iowa, Nebraska. And so there's truth, all these different truths. There's a truth that relates to what's going on. I mean, unbelievable, the protest in our country, anti-Semitic. It is just, I'm not going to go into it. But the point I want to say here in general is there's truth and there's lies. And sometimes it's hard to figure out what's going on. There's biblical truth. I mean, I was reading in 2 Kings the other week about the Philistines, which is the Palestinians in Gaza. It's there, 2 Kings, you know, from 2,500, 3,000 years ago. So all these different truths and lies as well, and that's our subject for 3 weeks now. I'm going to talk about this very extremely important subject of truth. And you need truth in general to be able to rightly live, to be able to function, to be able to work, to be able to live in society. You need truth to have good relationships. You need truth to know how to vote, right? You need truth, most importantly, to have a good relationship with God. That's the most important. In a culture where there's so many lies and so many half-truths, so much information and disinformation, we must know what is true. We must know the truth. We can't live rightly if we don't know the truth. And sometimes it can be very confusing. I think you all understand what I'm saying. So what is truth? It's an extremely important question. You remember what Pilate said when he was talking there with Jesus? What is truth? What is truth? And I just want to just write down a few simple definitions here. First of all, it's what is true. It's what is right. It's the right answer. It's what is correct. Truth is knowledge. Truth is what is real. It's the real thing. It's reality. The truth is the actual state of a matter, the actual state of an object. That's what it is. The truth is that man has XY chromosome, a woman has XX chromosome. The truth is that 2 plus 2 is 4 and 3 times 5 is 15. The truth is that a molecule of water is H2O. That is 2 atoms of hydrogen and 1 atom of oxygen. And we could go on and on and on. The whole world is filled with truths about all kinds of things. The truth is not air. It's not lies. It's not what is false. It's not fake. It's not counterfeit. We all know you got a real $100 bill. A real $100 bill is not a counterfeit $100 bill, okay? We understand that. The subject of truth relates to everything in the world. Everything. Everything. You, everything. Every person, every city, every country. There's a truth about physical things, like your body. You have a heart, and you have a lungs, you have a liver, you have kidney, you have muscles and nerves and blood. If you get sick, you go to the doctor, he wants to try to find out the truth of what's going on with your body. Oftentimes, they will take tests. I assume most of you have had blood tests. That's one of the most common tests there are, and one of the most important tests. What's the blood test? Because the blood, I was talking to the, was it phlebotomist? The guy that takes out my blood, went for blood test. And I thought he said there's a couple thousand different things you can test in blood. Now, usually, it's the panel that you see there in your own is maybe 20 or 30 things. It's amazing. As it says in Leviticus 17:11, you know, life of the flesh is in the blood. So there's the body. There's the truth about the weather. about wind and rain and snow and highs and lows, and you have meteorologists, they study all those things, and as you're an individual, you want to trust a meteorologist for the truth, right? You look at the weather, and you want to have an accurate forecast. You don't want some liar hope that this is the truth. You want to know the truth about the weather. There are truths about how to manage your money, about spending and saving and investing in debt that you need to know. If you don't know, or aren't applying these truths about money and finances, your finances will be a mess. Okay, that's what happens. There's a truth about food, about proteins and carbs and fats and the right kind of foods to eat. And to be healthy, you need to understand the truth about food, okay? A lot of people have problems with their health in this country. You know, you talk to a doctor and probably a good number would say a lot of the problems we have with our health relates to the food that we eat or the kinds of food that we don't eat. You know the story, I think you do, a few hundred years ago when ships are going across the Atlantic and people getting sick with what they called scurvy, and it was because what? A lack of vitamin C. A simple thing. That's the truth. You need vitamin C or else you get scurvy, okay? Or I remember this, Steve Phelps, food scientist. You know Steve, and I have a food question I asked Steve. We were talking about, I think, eggs one time. And he said, you know, some people, you know, they don't like the yolks, they don't like the whites or whatever. He says, Steve, you got to understand, the yolks and the whites have different proteins, and both are very, very important. You need to eat the whole egg. And the whole eggs are one of the better, you know, on the side note here, sources of protein in a dense way. Just one egg, all kinds of good protein for you. There's a truth about climate change and vaccines and other subjects, and oftentimes people lie about these things. And you need to do what you can to discern the truth. I'm not here to talk about these things, but I'm just telling you, and you understand what I'm saying. There's a truth about how to govern the country. You need to know truths about the economy, about the resources, about the borders, about countries, and about crime, and about law enforcement. But as you know, you can't always believe what you read or hear. You can't. You can't always believe what somebody says. There's so much lying and fake news. There really is, and so much propaganda. And again, you got to do what you can to figure out the truth. I mean, we live in this country. We got an election this year. And as you know, boy, advertisements are filled with lies. Man, it's a mess. And now I believe it is good to know what's going on in our country, but don't get too focused on these things. You should know some things. You're watching the news and hearing some podcast, and you get pretty upset. You can get pretty mad, stressed out. I hear things. I heard something this last week that was one of the most shocking things I've heard in the last couple of years. If you want to know, I'll tell you later. I said, wow. It's stunning what's going on. But some of these things then are important, but they still must not be the main thing. We must not, like some people, let these subjects or politics become our religion. And you know what I'm saying there, too. Yes, there's an election. It's dominating the news, but should not dominate your mind. Need to know some things, but don't overdo it. What's most important, what's supremely and eternally important, is God and spiritual truth. And spiritual truth that God gives us, of course, is relevant to every single person in this entire world. We talk about truth. And I'm talking about spiritual truth. Now, my focus now, the remainder of this time and pretty much the next two sessions is going to be on spiritual truth. We must always go back to God, for He is the self-existent one. He is the one who's existent from eternity past. He is the Lord. He is the creator of all. Indeed, God is the source of all truth. He's a source of spiritual truth. He's a source of physical truth, all kinds of truth. You have the truth about gravity. Of course, God made gravity. He did that. And He knows all the truth there is to know about gravity. Right? And is a source of truth about gravity. And if you know anything about gravity at all, it's because God revealed it to you in one way or another. Again, our focus today is on spiritual truth. The starting point for learning spiritual truth is acknowledging the existence of God. If you don't believe that God exists, then you can't learn spiritual truth, because if you reject God, you're rejecting God's truth. Again, He is the one who's the source of truth. Proverbs 1:7, I believe you know the verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or we could say the beginning of truth, spiritual truth. The beginning of wisdom, of truth, is believing that God exists and fearing Him and respecting Him and knowing and understanding then that He is your Lord, that He is your Creator. That's it. When we talk about truth then, We must start with the truth about God, that He is Lord, that He is Creator, that He is in charge, that He's supreme and holy and wise and powerful and omniscient, forgiving and good and loving and patient and so much more. The verse, I love these verses, I've shared them before, Jeremiah 9, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, let not a mighty man boast in his might, let not a rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. You know, sometimes you talk to people, and this has happened, I'm sure, for every one of you on many occasions throughout your life, is they'll be talking about themselves or be boasting about themselves or things that they can do or boasting about what they know. What does this verse say? Boast about the truth of the Lord. And particularly here, the character of God. That's it. Loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. That's what we should be excited about. It's so easy to think about ourselves and start spouting forth things about whatever we might know. We must then boast in the Lord and the truth of God. Let's go back to Romans 1. We've read this before. This is some passages we need to read and keep reading, and so we'll read it again. Romans 1, 18 to 25. Because this is foundational for our subject today, extremely important, probably one of the best passages that we need to look at. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So people suppress the truth. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. But even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That is futile, and their thinking, their speculations, their wrong thinking. Professing to be wise, they think they knew so much. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their heart to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's the key passage here. Spiritually speaking, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and therefore then worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So I want to sum up a few thoughts from there. First of all, through creation, people know there's a Creator. They know there's a God. If you see something or someone, there's a Creator. This pulpit here. Somebody made this, right? Right? Somebody made this. This Bible. Somebody made it. There's a Creator. You see a table. You see a car. A car a little more complex. Somebody made that car. Assembly line, whatever, but it was people involved in that whole process. And I have to say this because cars are pretty complex, especially now. I mean, they're really pretty complex. And the evolution would say, well, if this body here of mine could have evolved over, let's say, a billion years or so, well, then the logical conclusion, if we as humans make the cars, well, then the car could evolve too, right? Is that right? It doesn't make sense. It's totally illogical. You're not going to get a car after a billion years, all of a sudden there pops up a car. But it just does not make sense. This extremely complex, this person of us that God has made us to be. God made us. So we learn about the truth about God through creation. We learn that God is powerful. You see creation, wow, God is strong. I mean, how all the planets, you know, stay at the right distance and stuff, and the gravity and the tides come only so far, and that's just one aspect. There's so many aspects of the strength. And I don't understand this at all, but the whole thing about atomic bombs, nuclear bombs, and the power released from the splitting of atoms is, whoa, incredible power. And of course, the wisdom of God, the smarts, genius, super genius, God knows everything. And of course, he's good, illustrated by even the good food that you eat. You know, you have good food. You don't just have mush every day. That's maybe got all the nutrients. You got the nutrients, but you got the flavor. God is very good, and we see that in creation. Next, people have no excuse. No excuse for not believing there is a God. They're rejecting the truth of God that is visible for everyone to see. You talk to somebody, I'm not sure about God, or not. They're making a mistake. They have no excuse. They're ignoring the reality, the truth of creation that's before their very eyes. Next, people who do not honor God are fools, honoring themselves, honoring something else or someone else. That's what's going on. And exchange the truth of God for a lie. And they believe the lies that come, whether it's from their own heart, their own flesh, or from the world system, or from the devil. That's what's going on. You know the story of Adam and Eve, right? What was their mistake? What was Eve's mistake? Adam's too. Believed the lie. Didn't believe the truth of God. Believed the lie of the devil. That was it. And I will say this to you. I can't quantify this. I've got to be careful how I say it. That is, I don't think I can say that every problem that you have is because you've believed a lie, but there's probably more of that than you realize. You got problems? I'm not saying trials that just happen. I'm just saying difficulties and struggles. Oftentimes you believe in the lie and not the truth of God, you see. And you need to think about that. If you got some kind of problem, what's going on? Is there a certain lie that you're believing that's from the devil or from the flesh, whatever it might be? So we're talking then about God and spiritual truth. And God has given us this book, the Bible. And he's given this book because he wants to give us the truth. And in it, in this book, the Bible, God gave us all the truth that we need to know, right? But he didn't tell us all the truth. God's got all the truth. But he told us all the truth we need to know. It's right here. So please understand that. All the truth that you need to know is in this book here. So we have God's word, the source of spiritual truth, and a wonderful gift it is. And every person that needs God and his truth to live, for without God and his truth, we cannot live. You cannot live. So in general, if you're struggling as a Christian, in general, it relates to you're not really believing and applying the truth of God to your life. That's a very generalized statement, but it's true. Okay? The truth of God is so important. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's pretty black and white. Don't live on bread alone. So it's not saying you don't need physical food. Of course you do. But what you really need is spiritual food. That's what he's saying here. We need physical food to live, but most importantly, we need spiritual food. We need spiritual truth. Spiritual truth. We need the truth to be able to successfully live for God in this world. Now, what else can we say about God's truth? I have a number of bullet points here, many things to say. Again, this subject of truth is a vast subject, and I limit it to 3 weeks. First, the truth in God's word is true. It's right. It's correct. It's God's book, and there's no errors in this book. It always tells the truth. When a person or pastor starts believing lies and then teaching those lies to other people, then there are problems. People then will stray from the truth and there will be major problems. I've already shared the story, but I'll share it again. It was in the 20s, 1920s and 1930s and it started before that. It really started over in Germany and it came across the ocean. A lot of these bad, wrong philosophies, these errors. But there's truth to start going to the church, and different people were saying, oh, not all of the Bible is true. Jesus Christ was just a man, for example. They would say that. Or Jesus Christ didn't die for our sins. That was one of the truths. Or not all these different verses are true. All these things happen, and the mainline denominations that we know about today, we're talking about the Lutherans, we're talking about the Methodists, we're talking about the Presbyterians and others like that, that's when they started going south, right then. They were believing lies. Counter to the truth of God. They were not believing the entirety of God's word as being true. That's what was going on. Second point is the truth in God's word is clear. It's understandable. It's not vague or ambiguous or confusing. You have the truth about creation. It's right there in Genesis 1. You can't miss it. Didn't say it evolved. God created. You got the truth about salvation. You go to Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, many other places besides that. The truth about salvation being by faith in Christ alone and not by works. It's there. It's clear. Now sometimes you got to look at it a little bit, but it's there. Sometimes it's right off the page. Sometimes you dig a little bit, but you'll find the truth. The truth in God's word is stated precisely. It's very exact. This is point three. You read the word and the nouns and the verbs and the tenses of the verbs are all very specific and precise. I love this. When I read, I love to look at the nouns and the verbs. Especially, I love verbs. I like to know verbs. So you got John 3:16, for example. For God so loved. Loved is past tense, right? That he gave. Gave, past tense, right? And that happened 2,000 years ago. God showed his love by giving his son to this earth. Christ died on the cross to pay for sins, rose from the dead. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, what tense is believes? Present. Will not perish. Will is what? Future. You will not in the future perish. But, what's the next verse? But has. Has. What tense is that? Present. So you got the past, present, and future in that one verse, okay? And you see this all the time. You're reading the word, and what's the chance? I love the precision of God's word. And we should all love the precision of it. And look at the tenses. Look at the nouns. Look at the adjectives. Look at the phrases. Very, very important. Stated precisely. The truth in God's word is sufficient. God's word tells you how to grow and how to be fruitful. You don't need some other book. You don't need some other revelation. There's people nowadays, I got a prophecy from God and it's different than anything else. No, you don't need any other truth but what's in God's word. No other book, no other prophecy, no other revelation. This is it. All the truth that you need to live the Christian life is found in God's word, period. Number five, the focus of God's word is spiritual truth. The Bible does talk about other subjects. You'll see that it talks a little bit about the weather. You got Job 37, a nice chapter there. Talk a little bit about the stars. You'll find different verses. There's some in Job, other places. You'll find these things. And so what you see then is there's some truth shared about these other subjects, but not by any means all the truth. This isn't a science book, okay? If you want to learn science stuff about it, you go some other place. It's a spiritual book. But what God says about other things are true. What God says about stars, what God says about the weather is true. Okay? That's why I'm intrigued when I read Job 37. Talk about the swirling winds and all this. It's very, very interesting. Anyway, primary purpose, again, of God's word is to communicate to us spiritual truth. Next, God's truth is absolute, it's settled, it's firm, it's eternal, it's not relative, it does not change, it is not debatable, it always stays the same. This verse, Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. There's no devil, or demon, or angel, or person can change the truth of the word. The truth of God's word depends not on man, but on God alone. Next one, God's truth, specifically spiritual truth, exists outside of you. This is important to understand, okay? You don't come up with the truth yourself. You don't come up with God's spiritual truth yourself from your own thinking. You don't get it in your own mind. You just don't do it. It doesn't happen that way. I say that because as people, we have this body, we have this mind, we live in this body, we feel in this body, you know, and we have to realize that truth is outside of us. So you might feel a certain way or this has happened or whatever's going on. Truth is real. It's outside you. It does not depend on what's happening to you. It does not depend on what you're feeling, okay? That's what we're saying here. Very important. And with that then, God reveals his truth to people. God is the one who reveals his truth. This verse in John 16 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Again, our focus is on the truth. If you know the truth, really know the truth in your heart, it's because the Holy Spirit worked in your heart to reveal that truth to you. That is what happened. So that's how God reveals his truth by means of his Spirit working in our hearts. Humans then, in their own thinking, cannot figure it out, cannot reason out. It's only by God's Spirit. And that's why it's important then to ask God to teach you his truth. I've gone through some of these in Psalm 119, but that's the place you'll find this phrase, teach me your truth. Or even, we sang that song, and it's related, teach me thy way, O Lord, Psalm 86. But different phrases like that, you'll see, teach me, teach me. We need to say, God, teach me. Teach me. And you ask him that sincerely, he will teach you. He will reveal his truth to you, however that may happen. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but he'll reveal his truth to you. And with that, then, when you start understanding truth, you need then, in conjunction with that, to begin to meditate on God's word. So you have a verse, and oftentimes the truth of a verse is revealed to you as you think. That is, you read a verse, and then it's all of a sudden pop open to you. Oh. I mean, it may sometimes, but usually, oftentimes, the understand the truth is take some diligence, take some study, take some reflection, take some meditation. That's what I'm saying here. That's so important of meditating on the Word of God. Psalm 1:2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates once a day, an hour a day. You know what I'm getting at. In his law, he meditates day and night. We understand that this brain is thinking. And I've often wondered if I could somehow write down or catalog all my thoughts in a given day. There'd be a lot. And what I'd probably find, they're all over the place. So I'd be pretty embarrassed. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. God wants our minds and hearts to be settled, to be anchored by the truth of God. And that happens as we think, as we meditate on God's truth. That's what we're saying here. Next, truth is objective. I sort of hit on this before. It's not subjective. It's not based on your feelings or emotions. You're having a rough day and you're feeling really bad and the truth changes. God isn't good because I feel bad. No, that's not true. You're not believing that. Don't believe that lie. Truth is objective, not subjective, not based on feelings, emotions, bias, opinion, any of those things. God, then, he is objective, and truth comes from him. Please understand that. It is objective. And that doesn't mean it doesn't affect your feelings or emotions. I'm not saying that. And, in fact, that's what you want. You want to be affected, that is, your feelings and emotions, by truth and not by something else, okay? Not just by circumstances. That's what's so important here. Next, the sum of God's word is truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 actually says that. This is a very important point. The sum of God's word is truth. And I'm not going to go back and forth to debate, well, does that mean you have to look at every verse in the Bible before you understand the whole truth? I'm not saying that. I mean, that's just impossible. But the point is this, to really understand God's truth, it's important to look at the entire context. And you're reading through a particular section. It might be whatever it is in the Bible. And you look at that passage. You look at that particular context. You read the Gospels, and here's a story. It's maybe 5 verses or 10 verses or whatever. There's a theme maybe in some other book, Ephesians or something, or epistle, whatever. And you look at that passage. You look at those verses. You look at the surrounding context. That's what you do. Okay, that's what's important. And taking verses out of context has led to many, many errors in the church throughout the years. Just taking this one verse, pull this one verse, okay? When I study prophecy, for example, I do 2 things. I look at the immediate context text, the surrounding verses, and I will also compare with other verses. So, for example, if we're talking about the birth pains, I believe birth pains are going on now. There's 3 places you find birth pains really talked about, and that's Matthew 24, 4 to 8. That's Luke chapter 21, 9 to 11. That's Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 8. 3 places, all talked about. And to really understand, then you look at all of them and you compare them and you analyze it. Oh, okay. And you learn more. That's what happens. You learn truth. There's spiritual truth on all kinds of subjects in the Bible. It's logical. There's so many subjects in the Bible. Just like there's so many subjects in the world, but there's so many subjects in the Bible. And our church and most churches have what's called a basic statement of faith, and they're pretty much the same. You look at other churches, it's pretty common. And I'm going to give you these 8 words here that is this our statement of faith, at least the key words. It's God, it's Jesus Christ, it's the Holy Spirit, it's man, it's salvation, it's the church, it's God's word, and it's hope. Future hope. I got 8. Anyway, there's those truths, and there's other specific truths about each of those. I'm going to look at those a little bit in about 3 weeks, 2-3 weeks from now. But these are important, these truths. That is, when you talk about being a Christian, you can talk about all kinds of important subjects, all kinds of truths, but there's certain key ones. You got to know the truth about God. You got to know the truth about Christ. You got to know the truth about the Holy Spirit and what we are like as men. We have to understand the truth about salvation. There's some key subjects that we really need to understand. And other ones may not be, I don't say God's word's not important, but there's certain aspects for us as Christians we need to really focus on. That's what I want to say. Next, the devil, always tries to counter God's truth with lies. The devil uses demons and evil people to get people to believe his lies. For example, and I really believe I could do this, I just didn't take the time. I could probably come up with 100 lies of the devil. Okay, I'm just going to give you 4 or 5. But they're just all over the place. That's how does the devil work in this world? With lies, countering the truth, or half-truths, or however you want to say it. That's what he does. He's lying. And so we get all amped up about lies in the political world. Okay. But don't get too amped up about that. You should really get concerned and maybe righteously upset about the lies in the spiritual world. That's where it's at. Don't get distracted. And I got to watch it myself. Don't be distracted. Yes, know what's going on. Most importantly, understand the spiritual world. Understand how the devil works. It's sang that song, Battle Belongs to the Lord. We are in a fight every day of our life. But for example, the devil would say there's no God, okay? The devil would say that Jesus was just a man. The devil would say that Jesus didn't die for our sins. The devil would say that salvation is by works, okay? The devil would say that Jesus Christ isn't coming back for the church. And I could go on and on and on, lie after lie. It says this, people paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what's going on in our world. People are paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. That's happening, okay? That we got problems. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, the problems in our country. The demons are loose. I think I read what Franklin Graham said, he concurs. The demons are loose more than ever before in the history of this country. There is no doubt about it in my mind. I just cannot believe it. It's shocking. Because you know what's really happened in the last 20, 30 years? We shifted from a Judeo-Christian country, basically, to a more atheistic, or some would say socialistic, or communists. What do socialists and communists believe? No God. Don't need God. God's government is your God. So that's at the heart of this problem here, is this lie of getting away. And if you're a Christian, they start coming after you more and more. That's another story. But anyway, next. The church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 3. God has appointed the church to teach the truth, to defend the truth, to guard the truth, to fight for the truth, and to fight against error. And throughout history, God has raised up godly people who have proclaimed the truth. All kinds of godly people throughout history, throughout the centuries. They've written books and they've preached, and they're out today in this country and all over. There's good, godly people teaching the truth, and it's wonderful. You understand that. You know that. I believe you all know that. But you also got individual churches and whole denominations, again, teaching error, leading people away from the truth, and it's causing major, major problems, okay? But God's sovereign. We understand that. Next, no error can silence the truth or defeat the truth. God's truth is always victorious, but sometimes I think, and I can't help but think that you think like this too, says, you know, it doesn't seem like God's truth is winning in this country. It doesn't seem like God's truth is winning in Tampa, Florida. It seems like there's a lot more of the bad people than the good people. Well, that's part of the way it is. I can't argue with God. That's part of the way he's sovereignly working. We live in what's called an evil age, Galatians 1:4. So you have these bad people and demons and evil people affecting churches, but they're not going to silence the truth. And so the point is this, is God always wins. The truth always wins. I love this verse here. This is classic Psalm 45, speaking, I believe, of Christ. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously for the cause of truth. And he is. He is. Truth always wins. In the end, it'll be obvious, okay? We're going to talk about a subject related to this in a few weeks. It's Psalm 92. Three elements of that. It's about God. It's about the righteous. It's about the wicked. We have to see that. We have to always see this big picture, and that's how the Bible communicates so much, those three words there. I want to conclude by just sharing a few thoughts for the individual Christian about how you need to get the truth into your own life. We've talked about these before, but we need to say them now. You need to be learning the truth. It should be in a church. It should be that you're in a good church where you're hearing the truth of God taught, okay? It can also be as you're doing personal study yourself. It can also be as you're reading good Christian books. It can also be as you're listening to good godly teachers, okay? That's an important thing. You want to be actively learning the truth of God, and I would suggest you, not just on Sunday. You really need to take more time. So don't get involved in all this other stuff to do or things to watch or things to listen to. Take some time during the week to read a good book or to study some things or to look at a passage yourself and ask God to reveal the truth from us. Secondly, you need to believe the truth. It's not just a matter of knowing the truth. It's believing. And you know this. This is basic. But I tell you, it's a struggle. Faith is a struggle, right? Y'all struggle believing some? I do. It's a struggle. You need to believe the truth. I mean, the simplest, one of the simplest truths that God is love you, God is love, and that God loves you, that's a truth. As a believer, God loves you. The question is, do you believe it? And I know there are times when you've not believed it, because I know you're human. There's times when I've not believed it, and I could give you so many other truths. But do you believe it? And that's where you say, God, help me to believe, as it says in Mark 9:24 or 27, one of the two. I do believe, help me in my unbelief. So if you're struggling with faith, say, God, help me. I want to believe, but it's hard. And it is hard sometimes, walking by faith. Next, you need to love the truth, to delight in the truth, to desire the truth more than food, more than sleep, more than money, more than relationships, more than anything. You need to desire the truth, to love the truth. You need to meditate. I said this before, to think about, to ponder the truth of God. And this is, again, is not an option. It is a must. You are thinking about things every day, but are you thinking about God's word? At the end of the day, ask yourself, how did I do today thinking about God's word, this meditation? How did I do? Challenge yourself. This is one of the single most important things you can do, is think about God's word. Meditate on it, okay? I just started something new that done it before, but I've been more consistent the last month. Is I have a whole sheets of verses, and so I have this verse sheet, and I'll grab a verse at night, and I'll go to bed with that verse in my mind, half memorized, okay, whether it's a phrase or half a verse or the whole verse, and I'll go to bed. I tell you what, if you have a hard time falling asleep, you start thinking about that, and I think you'll fall asleep, okay? Not that you should, but the point is it's a good thing to think about, to meditate on the Word of God. Next, need to personalize the truth. Need to apply the truth to your life, so you read a verse and then you understand it. Well, it says, okay, God, how does this apply to me? What should I do, or how should I think, or what should I change in view of this truth here, this verse? Next, from Ephesians 6, you know the verses, you need to wear the belt of truth. And it says that there. You know, you come to that basic verse, the first, when you start talking about the armor, what's the first thing is the belt. Because it holds everything else together. And the soldier, the things would hang off the belt and be fastened to the belt. So the belt was central. And so we're talking about the truth of God in general being central to your struggling, to your fighting, to your winning as a soldier for God. The belt of truth. And it says there are truth that relates to righteousness, relates to purpose, it relates to faith, relates to hope, relates to love. So again, to wear that belt of truth. And it says that the point there is every day you'd be putting the truth of God on. And that's a good way to think about it. Every day, you know, you're going to be faced with lies, whether it's something from your own thoughts, something out in the world, or something somebody else says. You need to be actively putting the truth of God on. So we've shared a lot about this, and we're going to talk more 2 weeks from now, and again 3 weeks is, again, a lot on this important subject. But the thing that I just wanted to impress with you is the importance of truth for your lives and understand that there's all these lies out there. And the devil hates you, and he's really tricky. And you, man, don't believe any lies. So God, help me. You need to even pray. Say, Lord, if there's some kind of lies I'm believing, then pray that God would help you. So just a couple things here real quick. I really want you to pray for Gary and their family, because I'm thinking if you're in a literal war zone, you have opportunities, okay? You have neighbors. Pray that God would use them. That's all I'm saying. They got a very active church up there in Omaha. I was there a couple years ago. It's very encouraging what God is doing with Gary and others and things in that church. And so just pray for them, and I'll pray in a minute. Secondly, I just want to ask you to just keep praying for Giovanni. He's in his treatment plan. I'm not going to go through the details, but he's in this treatment plan. It takes about 2 months, they say, and he's doing infusion. They had infusion Saturday. He's on steroids, and he's have this dialysis stuff. So just pray, because the doctor's hopeful that this can really reverse the kidneys, so the kidneys can be fully operational again. That's the thing. So anyway, and I'll mention this very quickly here, and I'm going to say too much, but there was a shooting and a killing on Paris Street last Sunday morning about 12:30. Some of you know the people involved. I do. I've known them for years. And it was a really sad thing, sad story. And really, it was somebody's an accident, but it wasn't an accident because there really are no accidents. But somebody had a gun, and I guess it accidentally discharged, and the bullet went off a corner of the table. And I was there. I actually saw the crime scene and everything that happened. The bullet went off the corner of a table and ricocheted back and hit this guy in the upper thigh, hit the femoral artery. You know what that is? There's three big arteries, carotid, the aorta, femoral, and the leg. I looked online and it says you die in 2 to 5 minutes, and that was it. I mean, the chances of hitting that angle and going that way and hitting right there, right on the femoral artery, and boom, that was it. His wife screamed, and they shut down Paris Street for that night, all night long, 7 hours of shutdown. And really, really sad. I won't go into again all the, I don't know all that's going on. I just pray for his mom, Alice, lives in Paris, the other side of Paris, on the side where Doris and Rob live, and his wife there, of course, in the home. And so just pray that God would use this. That's what I'm thinking for their lives. Because, again, I was thinking about truth. The law enforcement's out there trying to figure out, you know, where's the crime and what's going on, and that's that element. But spiritually, God, please work in their hearts and their lives and in their neighbors, okay? That's what I'm saying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We bless you for your love and kindness to each one of us here. Thank you for your truth that you give us. It's a wonderful thing to have the truth. And I would pray that you'd help Giovanni to get better, and the medicines and the doctors to know what to do. I ask you for that, and pray for Elkhorn and other people up there in Nebraska, Iowa region, Lord, that you would just help them, Lord, to turn to you, because we understand that calamities like this, one of the main reasons is people wake up and see there's a God who's alive. And as it says so clearly in Luke 13, those two tragedies talked about there. And Jesus said, repent or you too will perish. That's the stark reality. God wants to wake us up, the need to repent before it's too late. And Lord, I just pray too for that family, the mother and the brother and the wife there, that you just help them. I pray they turn to you. I don't believe they're Christians, but I ask you to turn their hearts to you, Father, and others that might know what's going on and be involved, and other friends. What a tragedy. It's right in our neighborhood here. It happened just a week ago. A sad story. But Lord, you're alive and you're good and you are working in a righteous way. But Lord, help us all here to be ones who love your truth, love your word, read it and pray over it and think about it. Lord, I pray that for each one of us here. This is what we need. In this world, we need the truth. And I pray, Lord, with that, then you'd help us to fight off the lies. And if we don't really know the truth, it's going to be hard to fight off the lies. We need to know the truth. Resist the enemy, as it says, and I believe in James, and he will flee from you. But thank you again, Lord, for this time. Thank you for each one here. Just lead us and guide us and protect us for your purposes and glory. That's what we want. We want to, too, thank you for Bethel and all that they're doing, Lord. It's indeed a blessing to see the work that they're doing, and it's so encouraging, this new place being just remodeled the way it is. But thank you. I just want to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.